the storm.
Kathy's going to ask me now if there's any news of Manuel. Shall I tell her? I have to tell her. Kathy, I'll say, you must forget Manuel. Manuel is dead. I know he loved you, Kathy, but he's gone now. I love you too, Kathy, and I'm alive.
Reed Wilson imagines himself telling Kathy tragic news as he waits for her to ask a familiar question. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. You probably noticed that we have a soft spot in our hearts for babies on this program. Yes, we got a big kick out of all the clever ivory babies we greet from time to time. Babies have taught their mothers to wash dishes with ivory soap. You see, we figure there's no better way to show you what a pure, gentle soap ivory is than to tell you about the babies who use it. It's only natural that a soap that will help a baby's skin stay smooth and velvety will be kind to your hands and the dishpan. Now, if you use ivory for dishes, I hope you're giving your hands the full benefits of ivory's purity and gentleness by using it regularly and don't go switching back and forth to strong soaps. Can't you imagine what would happen if you used a strong soap on a baby's skin sometimes? You'd probably have one pretty miserable little baby if you did a thing like that. Of course, your hands can't make a fuss, but they can get sort of red and rough and unattractive looking if you change back and forth to strong soaps every now and then. So why not be kind to your hands all the time? Use ivory soap and only ivory whenever you wash dishes. Now, when you use ivory regularly for your dishwashing, you're giving your pocketbook a break, too. Ivory is wonderfully thrifty for dishes. While you can give your hands the protection of pure, gentle ivory soap for less than a penny a day. In fact, it costs less to do dishes with ivory than with those granulated soaps you use on wash day. So when you're shopping today, once you get some of those thrifty large size cakes of ivory soap at your store, that's the convenient size for the dishpan. And if you keep a supply of this pure soap in your kitchen shelf, you won't have any trouble remembering to be kind to your hands whenever you wash dishes. A little excursion steamer that's been plodding the waters all day around Manhattan Island with load after load of patient mothers and ecstatic children now lies briefly in harbor. Her crew has gone to dinner. Resting on the murky water, she looks matter-of-fact and unromantic in the slanting sunlight from the Jersey shore. But she is a ferry boat to thousands of young hearts, and well, she might be marked with glory for the joy she's given. Tonight, she will carry the evening crowds. Among them, on one of the trips, will be Kathy Reimer and Reed Wilson, who met last winter on a boat of another sort, bound on quite another kind of journey. Just after Reed had talked with Kathy on the phone today from the city room of the newspaper where he works, Reed received a letter from one of his colleagues in Europe. The message it brought has rung in his mind all afternoon.
I've finally got some news about one of those fellows you asked me to look out for, the one named Manuel Sandoval. I'm sorry to say it's not good news.
In her grandfather's apartment in 11th Street, Kathy is passing inspection, as she calls it. In a fresh, cool suit and a white hat turned up smartly over her dark hair, she ought to pass the most critical eye with approval. But Dr. Reimer is critical indeed.
Well, Grandpapa, I judge by the tilt of your head that something is wrong.
No. Perhaps just... Let me see. Ah, it is only the handkerchief in the pocket. Mm-hmm. Pull it up a little, half an inch more.
So?
Now you are correct. And very pretty, if I may say so.
How I ever manage without you, I'm sure I do not know, Grandpapa.
Well, years of training have not been in vain, that is why.
And do you like my shoes with the funny heels?
Certainly not. But I know they are the fashion, so never mind that. They are very chic.
Comfortable, at least.
But what a sight.
I beg your pardon, Grandpapa.
You sighed so deeply.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Nonsense. Is anything wrong, my dear?
Oh, no, no.
But you are not very happy today.
Oh, for no reason, Grandpapa.
Well, it is not that you have no reason to be sad, my dear, but try not to be. Ever since we first found one another again, I have been certain that we shall also find Torben and Manuel. I am very sure of it.
Kathy smiled reassuringly to her grandfather, but her heart was not reassured. Not about Manuel, and not about the discovery she made this noon about Peter Alden Hill, whose existence can make so great a difference in the lives of her friends at Hawthorne. It is later in the evening now. The wide Hudson River moves slowly and massively toward the sea, catching a little of the glitter and light of New York and its black, undulant mirror. Kathy and Reed are walking toward the bow of the little steamer as it chugs securely up the stream. For the moment, the boat's small band of musicians is silent, and the voices of the passengers are heard talking and laughing, quiet, peaceful, and happy sounds.
Oh, Reed, look.
Mm-hmm. That's the George Washington Bridge.
But how beautiful it is.
Huge, too. One of the greatest spans in the world.
Oh, Reed, it's so lovely it takes one's breath away.
Yeah. Hit me like that, too, first time.
But it's so unbelievable, so fragile and ethereal, like a thing made from a spider's web or the beams of the moon.
It's a lot more substantial than that.
And shall we sail under it?
Mm-hmm. We certainly shall.
Oh. My.
What's the matter, Kathy?
It's almost too much, Reed.
What, the bridge?
Yes, the great bridge. All this. New York. It's so terribly, terribly tremendous.
It's big, all right.
No, it's silly of me, but just for a moment I felt a little afraid.
Of what, Kathy?
Of everything, I imagine. Of being a part of this beautiful and terrible city. I have never felt like that when I was in there, in the city. But suddenly, as I look at it from here, from a little boat that is so very serene and detached, I think of myself being in there, engulfed deep in there among the great buildings, smothered among the millions of people, the terrible noise, and... Oh, this is so ridiculous. Forgive me, Reed.
I felt that way about New York.
You, Reed? Oh, no.
Lots of times.
But you like it also.
Yes, but never so much as when I'm away from it.
I remember how your eyes shone that day when we first saw the skyscrapers take form in the mist.
I think it was someone else whose eyes were shining that day.
Meant so much to me. And you know that, Reed.
Of course.
Sometimes I feel I have no right to be here, secure and free, when Manuel and two of them...
Oh, Kathy, you shouldn't say things like that.
But isn't it true, Reed? Should I not have stayed and...
And what? Got yourself into the same fix as they are? Would that have helped anybody?
But what help am I now over here? I feel so useless, Reed, so utterly, shamefully useless.
Well, I can understand how you might feel that way, but as surely as you're standing here beside me, Kathy, there's no justification for it anywhere between earth and heaven. I'll get that straight, anyway.
But isn't there something I can do?
Oh, there's nothing you can do until... That is, until we know something definite.
Reed, I have been wondering.
Kathy's going to ask me now if there's any news of Manuel. Shall I tell her? I have to tell her. Kathy, I'll say, you must forget Manuel. Manuel is dead. I know he loved you, Kathy, but he's gone now. I love you too, Kathy, and I'm alive. Kathy, Kathy, I'm here beside you, and I love you with my life, but Manuel is dead. Dead, I tell you. Forget Manuel.
Reed?
Yes, Kathy?
I know you would have told me if there had been any news, but...
Kathy, there's...
Reed, you have news for me?
No. No, Kathy. There's nothing. I'm sorry I frightened you. I was only going to say that there's... Well, there's nothing to worry about. I'm sure that things will turn out all right eventually.
Reed, I'm sorry.
You're sorry? What for?
For being so selfish and talking about myself and my worries instead of enjoying this lovely sail. I am enjoying it. It was so kind of you to bring me out here.
Kathy, you just don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I do not. Well, just for that, Mr. Wilson, I am not at all sure I should accept were you to ask me to dance at this moment.
Okay. I won't ask you then. I'll just say, come on, Kathy Reimer, you and I are going to dance.
The lights of shore and the gaudy little lights around the dance floor on the chugging little boat all spun and whirled as Reed and Kathy joined the other dancers. Both of them felt lighter of heart, and both of them falsely. Reed, because he hadn't dared to tell Kathy the news he had heard, and Kathy, because she knows her hope cannot reasonably be stronger just because there was no news. Friends, here's the big announcement you've been waiting for. Names of the winners in Ivory Flake's fourth Great Pontiac Contest, which closed June 29th, 1940. Each of the following people won a brand new 1940 Pontiac. Mrs. J.W. Elder, Decatur, Georgia. Mrs. Charles L. Miller, Chicago, Illinois. Mrs. J.H. Walton, Oshkaloosa, Iowa. Mrs. Fred Stultz, West Newbury, Massachusetts. Mrs. C.E. Anderson, Worcester, Massachusetts. Mrs. Julie Femiloro, Detroit, Michigan. Mrs. James M. Maxey, Jamaica, Long Island, New York. Mrs. R.E. Lighthizer, Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Mrs. H.A. Fleming, Toronto, Ontario. Mrs. Evelyn Morris, Toronto, Ontario. And congratulations and best wishes to each and every one of you from the makers of Ivory Flakes. Now, we want to tell everyone listening in that we're glad you took part in this big contest, and we hope you had a lot of fun doing it.
You have not gone to bed?
No, I have been waiting up for you.
Oh, but Grandpapa.
I have been waiting for you to come home, hoping you would join me in a little midnight lunch.
Is that it? I should love it.
Good. Did you and Mr. Wilson have an enjoyable tour on the river?
Oh, yes, we did. It was a lovely trip. But I don't think I shall go there again.
Why, Kathy, what makes you say that?
It's so beautiful on the river at night, Grandpapa. But it's so sad, too. The water looks so black and deep. It got so cold out there. So cold. A cup of hot coffee will be so good now.
On Monday, Kathy goes home to Hawthorne with her unhappy secret about Lucretia Hale. And Lucretia considers the effects of her encounter with Nicole Scott. Monday in Against the Storm. This is Irwin Darlington speaking for Ralph Edwards, who's on vacation, and saying goodbye for the makers of Ivory Soap, 99 and 44 100% pure. It floats.